This episode is brought to you with the help from Newbility. Newbility is your go-to IT partner offering tailored solutions in talent acquisition, infrastructure support, network reliability, and cutting-edge AI. We help you stay ahead by turning technology into a strategic advantage for your business. Newbility, turning your challenges into powerful opportunities. All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nichol, and joining me today is the men's basketball head coach, Jordan Delp. So, Jordan, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Matt, and thank you for doing this. This is a great service you provide for all of our alumni and friends, and we appreciate the heck out of it.
Absolutely, man. Well, I appreciate you being all on board on this. So excited to see what we can do here in the basketball season. And first, I just want to start off and just, you know, say congratulations. I mean, I think I feel pretty dang confident, you know, not only is on behalf of the fans, but I think of the alumni, you know, to see you, you know, at the helm, you know, this program. And obviously you're surrounded by a tremendous staff. So again, congratulations. Thank you. And we're excited to see you really kind of kick off your first full year here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we're excited as well, man. I'm so thrilled for our guys to have an opportunity here soon to get out on the court and display all the work that they've been putting in, because, you know, they have been working this past, I mean, certainly since we started practice on October 15th and our non-traditional practices on September 30th. And I think that's right. And then open gyms, right when we got here. And shoot, we couldn't coach them, but they were coaching themselves and doing a heck of a job. And yeah, really thrilled for Tuesday night for them to have the opportunity here to put it on display and go compete against somebody else other than ourselves.
Well, let's talk a little bit about last year before we kind of move to this year. You know, so you became the interim head coach in December. You were named as the program's 18th head coach there in February. You know, what was that transition like? I mean, how did you kind of navigate that, you know, interim to head coach kind of mid-season? That's a tall task.
Yeah, I think, well, first off, not alone. Right. We had a tremendous staff of guys who were ready to step up and support us and make sure that they were supporting our guys to the best of our abilities. Right. And I have a great support system around me from, you know, my former head coach, Coach Giovanni, and other people in the coaching world and professional world who I really leaned on to help us navigate kind of some rough waters there. Right. And most importantly, have a family and a wife who really were supportive and really stepped up and understood that, man, the workload and everything we had to do was going to increase just because of the nature of the beast, right? And I think, again, to credit our players for, man, just really committing to each other and staying the course. And we talk all the time about stay together, keep coming, right? Stay together, keep coming. And they really bought into that mantra and made some strides and just indebted to the way that they really could have folded but didn't, made some strides and stuck together. And we tried to be very intentional about not recreating the wheel, right? That wouldn't have been fair to our guys. We just had to do what we were doing better and, you know, then continue to add some wrinkles. But shoot, they made a lot of strides and they deserve the credit. They're the ones that were out there doing the work.
Yeah, how did the players kind of react and embrace that change? I mean, I know that's a tough conversation to have initially. How did they kind of wrap their arms around, you know, that big of a change, you know, in the middle of the season?
Yeah, well, I think you can see behind me here, we have something here called the Augie Ego that we pride ourselves on, right? And we really want our guys to choose team first and prioritize the we over the me. Okay, and we also have another one that you can't see called the Viking Rule, and that's no excuses, get it done. And we talked a lot about what we can control, right? We feel that our guys can control their focus, their attitudes, their effort, and their choices. And so we really tried to empower them to lock in and focus small in those areas, knowing that if we could do that, right, then we can put it all back together and we can build, you know, together and get better. And so I think our guys, to a man, really locked in on those ideas. And it allowed us to really not focus too much on the grand scale of things and get too wrapped up in the scope and really just focus small on what we had control over and winning each and every day, each and every practice, each and every possession, each and every rep. And that's really where we tried to get our guys to focus.
Was there anything kind of immediate, you know, that when you stepped into that role, like, did you make any kind of immediate changes, you know, off the top, you know, of how the program is operating, either day in, day out, or your game plan, in-game prep? Anything kind of immediate that you said, this is my legacy that, you know, I'm starting to build and work on. This is my stamp. This is my style, you know, maybe better said.
Yeah. Man, I just think we really tried to focus in on what we've already talked about, not to repeat myself, but really just taking it a day at a time and focusing on process, right, over results, right, and focusing on progress over perfection. And we had to just focus on getting better and playing with joy. I am a big believer that, man, I love this game, right? I loved playing it. I love coaching it. And I think sometimes, man, we get bogged down in fear and concern and worry. We wanted our guys to remember why they loved the game and why they loved playing with one another and just to get back to playing with joy. And I think it took time, but I think we got back to that. And while we still then kind of instilled some of the habits that we believe in and continue to value, right, that we always have, right? But we got to kind of shift a little bit there and get them remembering why they love it.
You know, I remember because it was with the Illinois College game, I think, was your first one. But what I see and what I saw, because, you know, you see me and my son. I mean, we were always right there, kind of midcourt, front row. You pick up on a lot of stuff. And the immediate change I saw, I thought was really beneficial, is the communication between you and the players on the court. I mean, it took it up, I think, two or three notches, where I think that was, you know, lacking, you know, earlier on in the year. And I think that's just a tribute to you and the relationship you have with the players and the, you know, the amount of dialogue you guys were having during the game. And that really continued, you know, throughout the home games that we attended. That's something that really stuck out to me, that was like an overnight change. Their effort, I felt like their attitude, seemed like they wanted to work a little bit harder. So it seemed like it was a good switch from that perspective. But again, that's my observation. You know, to me, it stuck out like a sore thumb.
Well, you know, we know that a lack of communication leads to confusion, right? And we want clarity for our players and clarity for each other. And so we do try to be proactive in those ways, whether that's talking on the court, talking in breaks, talking in prep. We got to communicate better, earlier, louder, and more often. And so, you know, I appreciate that. I can only be me, right? And we're going to have, you know, we're going to have conversations and we're going to get ahead of things and we're going to make sure that we're on the same page more than anything. And, you know, that's something that we're going to continue to evolve in, and we got to keep getting better at even this year, right? That's something we cannot take for granted, that we have to really be intentional about and focus on every single day in practice, every single day in everything we do.
Now, you know, let's talk a bit about the upcoming season. So, you know, Vikings were picked fourth in the CCIW rankings preseason. You know, how do you feel like, you know, you're returning five starters, you know, a total of eight seniors. How do you feel like this team is stacking up, you know, as we kind of move into, you know, CCIW play this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, certainly that level of recognition was a testament to the work that our players have put in over the years. But we also know that at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't really mean much, right? Because it has no bearing on, you know, our success on the court, right? And so we are very much focused on winning today, right? And focusing on the process and the work that's going to lead to us, hopefully, putting ourselves in that position to be successful, right? And I know that's a bit of coach speak, and I know that's cliche, right? But it's also cliche because it's true, because it works, okay? And so, you know, I think in terms of the CCIW schedule and what we have coming, we know, right, that we play in one of the toughest leagues in America, and we expect the expected on that front, but we also can't worry too much about that right now, at least in terms of the individual games that are coming. Right, because we play Co on Tuesday, and that's the only one we have control over, right? And so we have to worry about building the habits that we know are not only going to be successful in game one, but certainly successful once we get into one of the toughest leagues in America. And so we try to really focus in on what is most going to impact winning for us in all of those situations, right? Because you know, we have a very tough non-conference schedule ahead of us also, right? And so what habits do we have to instill that we can execute consistently in order to be ready for CCIW play? Well, we got to worry about being 1-0.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with these returning players, I mean, who are going to be some of the key cogs that you're going to be, you know, you're going to be leaning on? I mean, you know, Tyler Knuth is coming back, Chase Larson, Matt Hawkins, you know, Mike Hamilton, Colton Gillingham, Evan Amber. I mean, you know, that starting five is coming back. You know, leaning on that starting five, I mean, how important is that just to have not only eight seniors coming back, but your starting five, you know, to come back as well?
Yeah, I think you missed Anthony Cooper and Nick Giliberto from the senior perspective. Yep. And the only reason I say that is because those eight seniors and Jamal Winston as well, who's new to our program, but those eight guys who have been here at least 3 years and mostly four, really have an opportunity here to set a new standard and to establish a new identity for us, right, in terms of how we're going to do things and who we're going to be moving forward, right? And to a man, they have done a great job of embracing that responsibility. There's no pressure on them, right, other than to do their job, right? And so those guys have really done a nice job of embracing that responsibility and stepping up every day to try to hold each other accountable to the ways we want to live and the things we want to be known for, right? And so I think that's where it starts. And you know, we've been very honest with our guys in that there's 200 minutes every game, right? Five guys on the court, 40-minute game. We got 200 minutes to distribute, okay? And those are decisions that are going to be tough and are going to be ones that are going to be fluid and ones that are going to shift based on a number of different factors throughout the year. But regardless, we have to continue to focus on, again, those things we control, right, and how we can continue to get better for each other each and every day. And they have really embraced that, right? And we've done a nice job so far, and we got to keep doing it as we move forward because we are going to be deep. Okay, but you know, certainly I'm excited to have Tyler Knuth back as a fifth-year guy who was a first-team All-Conference performer last year, and who we think has an opportunity to have a heck of a year again, right? And those other seniors that you mentioned, Evan and Chase and Hawk and Colton and Coop and Nick and Mike, yeah, those guys have practiced really well to start the year, and we're looking forward to seeing what they can do. But we got some young guys that are really coming too, right? Whether that's Danny Romero, who started a ton of games for us as a junior. Right, sophomore last year, is a junior now, okay, you know, a lot of different guys who are coming back and a lot of young guys from the area and from other places who are making strides and are really helping us have competitive practices, man. The environment at practice is helping us, and it's a testament to all of those guys.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little about the incoming class. You know, I know there's some names here. I think, you know, Josh Inesetto, J.J. Hernandez, what, Tristan Jackson, Noah Johnson, Jason Luani, Dominic Roden, and Jake Willems. You've got a lot of really good talent coming in. I mean, you know, what's your initial kind of thought on how you would summarize this kind of incoming class?
Tough. And that was a big, big focus for us this year. Obviously, they're talented and ability matters, but I think collectively they have a toughness that we think is very additive to our program. And like I said before, has really helped us make our practice environment that much more competitive. And that is something that we as a program want to be known for, right? We aren't going to back down from anything, okay? And we need guys who want to embrace that lifestyle and embrace that style of play and who really yearn for it and want it, right? Because it's tough to win. Dang near impossible to win, certainly in our league, if you lack toughness, right? And so I think... And I would also include, I'm sorry, Jamal Winston and Sean Kelly, who are transfers in this year that are additions to our program also, that also fit that bill, right? And I think we've really made a ton of different improvements in a lot of different ways. But if you want me to summarize that group in a word, it's tough.
Well, that's what you need in the CCIW, man. I see a lot of the preseason, you know, social media posts from some of these other teams, and they talk about, you know, how much bigger, stronger, faster, you know, these teams continue to get, you know, and you've got to continue to match that. I mean, you know, whether it's North Central or, you know, Illinois Wesleyan, you know, they're, you know, the Titans, right? So, but, you know, I know, you know, the Vikings are going to head up and, you know, play now ranked number two Wisconsin Platteville, you know, here kind of soon out of the gate. I'm excited for that match. I might actually drop my son in the car and head up there to watch it. You know, it's like, hey, if you want to be the best, man, you got to play the best. You know, so I'm really excited about that. And then you've got, like, Wisconsin Lutheran's 15. Obviously, you play Wesleyan twice. They're 16. So, you know, when you think about, like, scheduling, how much say do you have, you know, in that scheduling? Or is it really kind of booked a couple of years out? I mean, how does that work on the basketball side of things?
Yeah, we try to get our schedule for the following year done before the start of this season. And that's always a work in progress. And last year was particularly, let's say, different because we lost a few teams kind of right in the spring and then kind of had to scramble around to figure out how we were going to fill our schedule. So we have a lot of autonomy over what we can do. Obviously, we don't have a budget where we can jump on planes and travel too far out of the area, right? So we are relatively captive to the Midwest, certainly, with some exceptions to that. But yeah, I mean, it's always a delicate balance, right? You have to try to project, right, what you can expect moving forward. And obviously, a program's history and tradition comes into play in that. And you look at rosters and you try to kind of, again, project what's going to be back and what situation you're going to be in. Because you want to find a balance between making sure your guys are prepared and pushed, right? And we got to kind of figure that out. And it's more art than science. Right. And sometimes you're captive to things going on around you that, man, just are kind of outside your control. We thought we had a couple of games set that ended up slipping away from us. Right. And so then we got to figure out what we're going to do from there. And I think we found a way to get a tough schedule that'll, again, challenge us in the non-conference and help us be prepared for what's coming in conference.
So, I mean, your perspective, I mean, as you're looking at it, you know, are you looking at things like, you know, what does our strength of schedule look like? You know, are you trying to go after, when you have the opportunity, ranked opponents? Or does it, you know, still kind of come into play? Like, I know you went up to Whitewater last year, you know, as well. Are you trying to stay somewhat regional? I mean, how does that kind of fit into your mindset a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of understand, we have to understand what the, let's say, selection committee is looking for from an NCAA tournament perspective, and keep that in mind, right? The strength of schedule matters, and making sure that, again, you try to find teams who are going to end up the year with good records, but that, you know, you got to find a good balance there is all I'll add, right? And so, yes, how those selections are made, and obviously, right, we'd like to be in a position to get the automatic bid as many times as possible, but so would everybody else in our conference, right? And so, yes, how that selection committee takes care of things and how we have to manipulate our schedule to make sure that we kind of put our best foot forward matters, and we got to challenge ourselves too, right? Because, again, CCIW is a challenge every single year. We got to make sure we're ready.
Well, I'm excited. I was thinking about Dom Roden, which, you know, I remember when I brought my son into the camp, you know, and Dom Roden was there. You know, he's local. I got a chance to follow the, you know, United Township Panthers for a year when it was him. And then now he was a junior. And then when they made that strong playoff run. And then they had Bristol Lewis, who's now at Wisconsin Platteville, and he was getting like 13 minutes a game last year. I'm like, it'll be cool. I want to see them too, you know, on the court together. So that'll be a nice little cool local matchup here. You know, when you think about, like, your staff, you know, Coach Malik Wildersmuth, you know, he was elevated to top assistant coach this, you know, this off season. Would you mind maybe just sharing a little bit about your staff and, like, you know, what are some of the roles and responsibilities they have?
Yeah, so Coach Wildermuth, yeah, took my job and was elevated, and, man, he earned it, right? I mean, he had a big workload last year, certainly down the stretch, where he was working full-time as a member of our core department, as a career coach, and just working his tail off, not only for our guys who went to see him, but for all of the students on campus, right? And then was coming down and was basically acting as our full-time assistant at that time as well. And the dedication he showed, the sacrifices he made, and the devotion he showed to our players and to our program spoke volumes. And he continues to impress and continues to assist our guys and help and support them at a very high level. He's taking on a lot of responsibility for us. He'll be kind of acting a lot as our, almost defensive coordinator, right? I see the football helmet behind you there, right? In that parlance, he'll be kind of a lot in that role, and is doing a great job leading our recruiting efforts and leading our scouting efforts in a lot of ways as well, along with me, of course, right? So he'll kind of be in that role a ton. We're going to meet right after this call to go through some things for next Tuesday and start to get on the same page. And man, him and Coach Kyle, Coach Lamont as well, those are two guys who I've worked with a ton on the court as players in a former life as a player development coach as well. So I don't know how many people know that, actually. Coach Wildermuth and I knew each other as player and coach before he came on staff here. And I had a great opportunity to work with him for basically an entire summer. And he was here and he showed how much it mattered to him and how much he wanted to work at that time. And that has just continued as he's transitioned from player to coach. And really excited to have him by our side. And then Coach Lamont's back with us again this year. And there's no person who I've it'd be close, but I can't imagine there's any person I've spent much more time, if any, with in the gym than Kyle Lamont. We started out kind of as foes back in the day as players. And he didn't like us much in summer league when he would come back and play with us. But then when I was in that player development world and he was playing professionally in Latin America and overseas in a lot of different places for a long time, when he was home, we were in that gym every day, most days, let's say.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time waiting on him because he likes to be late. No one understands what I believe about supporting players and supporting people, right? But also about developing players. And so he is just a big, big, huge, huge benefit to our program and to our players, certainly in terms of being able to just kind of pass on the same stuff and talk in the same language and use the same terminology and develop players and work with our guys during the season and really help them grow. And so thrilled to have him back with us as well. We had a Coach Doherty, who's a young guy who's been around the league and coached in the league and really kind of looking and leaning on him from an offensive perspective a ton, right, to help us and kind of almost as kind of that offensive coordinator while Coach Wildermuth and I are still certainly doing some things there, okay? But, he has a good understanding of the league, having coached at North Central for a couple of years, and just is really motivated to continue growing as a coach and helping our guys. And then Coach Diekman has come on board as well, and he's a guy I've known. I worked with all three of his kids as players in my player development world as well. So you can sense a little bit of a theme here, right? People who know kind of what I'm about and how we do things. And he's helping a ton in terms of getting us some statistical analysis and allowing us to kind of look at things on a deeper level, even through practice. And obviously has he's a rather large fella. So he helps us with our big man and beats him up a bunch and helps us continue to develop those guys too. And just brings years and years of experience as a coach and a mentor. And we want that around our guys because, as I've said in pretty much every opportunity like this I've had, we want it to be a four-year commitment for him, but it better make a lifetime impact. And he's a big part of that as a guy who's been around the community and been around the game and been around, student athletes for a long, long time.
So, as you look to this year, I mean, what are some different fundamental things that you're trying to, put into place, that, within the program that, I know you said last year you didn't want to make any, significant changes kind of mid-season, but as you go into this season, how are you going to try and shake things up or what are you really going to, what's important to you as you go into, this year, fundamentally wise for your program?
Some of that I might keep a little closer to the vest for a little bit longer, but I think for players individually, let's say, we really focus in on five main areas of the game for them individually, right? We want guys who can defend on and off the ball individually in a team environment. So we spend time playing one-on-one in practice and obviously building up to five-on-five as well. But that's where we start. And then we want guys who can handle pressure as a ball handler, as a passer, as a screener, as a cutter, specific to how we do things in those areas, certainly, but we need guys who can handle that because pressure's coming. We need to be able to finish through contact and over and around length, right? And then we want guys who can shoot it in, spot ups, on the move, off the bounce, at the free throw line. Okay. And those are kind of the main skills that we then wrap around a decision making wrapper, right? Because the decision in a lot of situations can be more important than the skill. Obviously, the skill helps make that decision a little easier, right? But at the end of the day, we want all of our guys to be able to make better decisions in tighter spaces with less time and more skill. And I stole that from a mentor of mine named Drew Hamlin in the player development world, but that's really what it's about. And that's what we try to do on an individual and on a team basis. Now, as a team, right, well, I think on a broader level, okay, we want to adhere to those kind of pillars of our program we discussed earlier, right? We're going to defend, we're going to rebound, we're going to run, we're going to share, right? And maybe even before that, we're going to play hard, smart, together, and we're going to play with joy. We're going to continue to, and I think you'll see that. And we want guys, again, who ignore the score, stay together, and keep coming. And I know that's broad, and I know that's kind of a higher level thing, but at the end of the day, those are the things that we are kind of judging our guys by and judging our program by and judging ourselves by, making sure that we're holding each other accountable to those things. Defensively, you know, we're gonna switch some things up, and we'll see kind of what it looks like as we move forward here. Offensively, we're going to try to be dynamic and make sure that we utilize all five guys on that end, and we are hard to guard because of that constant movement and because everybody's a threat, right? And then we have to, and I can't believe I said this before offense, or didn't say this before offense, but we got to rebound better, right? Both defensively and offensively, we have to limit teams to one contested mid-range jumper by attacking that glass with commitment, and then we got to go get some misses, right? We led our league in three-point shooting percentage last year, right? Well, we shot 36%. That means we're missing a fair amount of them, right? We got to go get some of those misses, and we got to make sure that we can get some of those easy baskets based on that. So, you know, I know that was relatively vague, but our guys know the details a lot more specifically than that. And then we'll kind of see that, and we know that the proof will be in the pudding. So we'll see what it looks like as we get going here.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to start to get the program back to, you know, packed Carver centers. And now you've got like campers night coming up. I know my son's super excited about that. So he can show up in his shirt and enjoy the game there. I know you've got the 2014, 2015 Final Four celebration night, and then they're doing whiteout, you know, for senior night. So, you know, I think those are really cool opportunities to, you know, to continue to like celebrate, you know, the local development. How many kids did you have across both camps? Do you recall off the top of your head?
Ooh, I'd have to go back, but it was somewhere, it's right around, if you include our 3-on-3 camp as well, because we actually do that also, it was right around like 225 kids or so this summer who were a part of one or many of our camps.
That's amazing.
It was a great, I mean, yeah, it was awesome. It was amazing. It was a great experience for those kids, I hope, right? It was certainly a great experience for us as a staff, and I know it makes a big impact on our guys who come back and work camp, right? Because they see the impact that they have. And we talk all the time that, you know, little eyes are watching, right? And they're role models, and those youngsters are looking up to them. And they have a responsibility to model the right types of behaviors. And just always so proud of our guys in terms of how they step up and do those things during camp, like you're talking about, and when we have campers night and they get around them again. Or yesterday, a bunch of our guys went to Wells Elementary, actually, and had lunch, that VIP lunch with some of the kids, and just did a phenomenal job of fussing all over them and making sure they know they're important. And we have a responsibility to be present and impactful in our community, not just at Augustana, but in that broader Quad City community as well. And that's something our guys have embraced as well. I know I've been using that word a lot, but it's something we discuss all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you firsthand knowledge from my son. He loved every minute. He wanted to go back to the second one, but we were going to be out of town, or else I was going to sign him up and have him go to it. But I mean, you know, the feedback, he said he had so much fun. You know, he continued to learn, you know, more about basketball. I mean, gosh, he's, you know, just in fourth grade, but just absolutely had a good ball. And again, I think, you know, he thought it was super cool to interact with the players. And I told him today I was going to be talking to you. You know, he's like, "Are you talking to Tyler? Are you talking to Tyler?" I was like, "Maybe at one point."
Soon. Yeah.
Yeah. That's his favorite player. So, it's super cool to see the kids interact with the players, and again, just phenomenal, community presence. So great stuff there. Now, lastly, let's just talk a little bit about the upcoming, next week. So you open at home versus Co. Co last year finished, 22-6. They were tied in the ARC, with Nebraska Wesleyan. What can you expect to see from Co, this year? I know they're not returning their top two scorers, Kale Schmidt and TJ Schnurr, but Bennett Shirley, I think, was like their third scorer they're returning. What are you kind of expecting to see from them, here at home early on?
Yeah, a team who knows how to win. I mean, Co has established an identity in their conference and around the nation as a strong program. And despite having a new coach, well, he's a guy who's been there before and has helped to establish a certain identity out there, right? And we know that they're going to be fundamentally sound and they're going to play hard and they're going to know how they want to do things. And Bennett is certainly a guy who hurt us here last year and who's off to a strong start to his senior season here as well. And so he's a guy we'll be aware of, but they have threats all over the court, right? And they're going to have guys that can shoot it in from distance, but who also aren't afraid to put it down, right? And so we know that we've got to be ready and connected from a defensive perspective and know who's got the ball and know where they are and orient ourselves that way. But understand that they have strong guys all around the court and guys who can hurt us if we're not ready and we're not dialed into our scouting report, okay? And then defensively, they are going to pressure us a little bit, right? And they're going to make it hard on us and be physical, okay, with our screeners, with our cutters, right, and with our ball handlers as well, okay? And so we know we're going to have to play with a toughness, play with a level of toughness that is going to help us be successful. One of the main stats that we look at a lot of times is kind of turnovers versus free throws, right? If our turnovers are high and our free throws are low, well, we're probably not playing with the toughness we need. And I envision that being something that we're very mindful of as we get ready for Tuesday and as we start that game, because we know that physicality is coming and we know that they're not going to back down and that we got to go take it. We got to earn it.
Well, I'm excited for the first game, man. I know my son was excited to go watch, so I know the family will be there, and we'll try and secure our front row seat courtside. So that's the favorite spot. Yeah. So we'll
Hopefully you got to get there early. We're hoping. We're hoping that thing starts to fill up Tuesday night at 7, home opener. So we're looking forward to it. I know our guys are jacked up for the opportunity, and we're excited to see and show, right, mm-hmm. some of what we've been working on and play that brand of basketball that Augustana has been known for and that the Quad Cities really embraces and loves.
Absolutely. Well, good luck next week. Again, it was great connecting. I know we'll continue to stay connected throughout the season here, but we'll see you Tuesday.
Thank you again for all you do, sir. We appreciate you.